You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. If we learned anything from the John Wick films, it's that even if you're a director who's a first-time director, who has no experience with film, like behind the camera on that level, if you've done tons and tons and tons of stunt work for like a decade, even if the movie's dumb, it's going to be really fun to watch in a violent sort of way, which I think is what the Russo brothers, of course, best known for doing a lot of the Marvel films, were thinking when they wrote the screenplay for Extraction and hired director Sam Hargrave for his debut performance, who has worked with them extensively on Marvel films, has worked on action films extensively as a stuntman, as a stunt coordinator. And sure enough, you watch Extraction and you watch Chris Hemsworth, who clearly by now has learned how to do action and stunts after his many, many Marvel films, coming in and doing exactly what a star is supposed to do in this type of film. The problem is, they wrote a Dolph Lundgren film around it. Anyway, I'm Chris, and joining me on the review for Netflix's Extraction is Jenna.
Hello.
And Max.
What's up, guys?
And Joshua the Hunter.
Hello, Chris. Hello, everyone.
I think the only one of you guys I've recorded with before has been Joshua, right?
For sure.
I think so. I don't think I've been on a review with you. I know Jenna, you and I have not reviewed before. This is your first review for Screener Squad.
It is a pleasure to be on here. So thank you.
Max, we've known each other for a while online, but and you've certainly you have contributed before to things, just not things I've been on.
Yeah, this is our first time talking.
Hello, how are you? What's going on where you are? Is it cold? Probably not.
It was cold until today. Now it's about 75. It's going to be 90 in a week and then drop down to 50 again. So that's Colorado weather for you.
Well, I got to be honest, although I have traveled overseas, I have never traveled to Bangladesh, which is where this film takes place, and in India. I know India is a pretty big country and has a variety of different types of weather. No idea what it would be like. I get the feeling it's probably pretty hot there, but that doesn't really play into the film, although it is rather sweaty looking. Chris Hemsworth, who plays Tyler Rake. There's a tough guy name if I ever heard one.
It is.
he's a former SASR, a Special Air Service Regiment operator who's turned into a mercenary. He's been doing it for a while. Throughout the film, it constantly reminds you that he had some huge loss, family loss, some shit went down, and now he's basically, as someone, another character says to him, it's like every mission he takes is just him holding the Russian roulette gun up to his head and clicking it again, seeing if that's going to be the one that will finally end his pain. Okay. A character we've seen before in action movies, to be sure. But we find out that he's being dropped into Bangladesh undercover with a team. You know, the idea is he's there supposedly to negotiate with this Indian crime lord for the son of another Indian crime lord that they've kidnapped because they're at war with each other. But the real thing is he goes in there to check out the scene, comes back out, comes in again, kills everyone, takes the kid with him. But this mission is not going to be as simple as it seems, because it appears that said other crime lord has decided he doesn't really want to pay this mercenary team for getting his son back and just plans on killing them as well and taking his son. So what you have is Hemsworth with a preteen Indian kid who's kind of adorable running around the poorest parts of Bangladesh and blowing up lots of things and killing lots and lots and lots of people. Chris occasionally getting depressed and mugging sad for the camera and not at all being what you hire Chris Hemsworth to do, which is be extremely charismatic and funny when he's doing other things. So I'm a little baffled at the casting here, but I don't know, guys. That's basically the plot. It's a run-and-gun film with really impressive action scenes, no question, but it is a white dude in a white savior role murdering hundreds and hundreds of brown people, which is problematic at best.
Any other actor except Chris Hemsworth, I feel like this movie wouldn't have worked as well as it did. I don't really have many hopes for Netflix movies usually, but I enjoyed it much more than I expected just from the poster, since I didn't watch the trailer. But just from the poster, I kind of expected just like a normal war movie, like everything was kind of brown, like the colors, like all the dust and everything, all the sand. This actually was much better than I thought.
So I'm very quick to go ahead and point out the whole white savior trope, because it is definitely a trope that is overused quite often. The white savior trope didn't hit me like it normally does. Like, kind of sitting there going, okay, there is chemistry between him and Avi, is a kid's name. I really enjoyed their chemistry. They get a couple quiet moments to get to know each other. I mean, as much as this film will develop characters, but I like their chemistry quite a bit. I'm blanking on the woman's name who kind of recruits him.
Randeep Huda, I believe.
I like the moments we got with them, and this is basically Thor on fire. It's basically
like Man on Fire, but with Thor?
Exactly. I mean, that's essentially what this is. And Chris Hemsworth, since this is a year, almost a day, that Endgame came out, it's really interesting to see where his career has gone outside of the Thor movies. You know, when you think about something like Snow White and the Huntsman, which was, you know, stuff like Bad Times in El Royale. Like, he's shown a lot of range, and while this film doesn't develop his character enough, I thought those quiet moments, he did get to show some of that range that he's become known for. But the star of this is the action stuff. The action scenes are so incredibly well done.
Let me interrupt real quick just to say the actress was Golshifteh. I have no idea if I'm saying that right at all. Probably not. Farahani, who is an Iranian-born French citizen who's been in 35 movies. She's been around for a while. The other person I listed, Randeep Huda, is also an experienced Indian actor. Has won multiple awards, plays the guy who's kind of the main henchman of the father of the kid, who is both a good and a bad guy in the film.
He was fantastic.
Yeah, he's got the crazy eyes, man.
That guy was awesome.
You see him coming to this hotel at one point just covered in blood, and his eyes are just darting everywhere and insane, and the clerk is just like, oh shit. Expect him to look like that biker in Terminator 2 holding out the keys. Take him, man! Just take him!
He looks like Michael Shannon's browner brother, because just how his eyes were spaced, and when his eyes got really big and expressive, I was like, oh my god, it's Michael Shannon. But yeah, he was excellent in this. And he got to do a lot of physical stuff too. And I thought he handled that stuff really well as well.
Jenna, you were leaving some comments in our little text discussion group before the movie that made me think that you weren't as fond of this film.
I mean, listen, I am always for shoot 'em up movies. Like, that is actually my favorite. However, the chemistry, I didn't really feel a chemistry just because I didn't get to know either one of the characters. Like, they introduced that whole I had a kid trope, or my wife died trope. So that's like my emotional character development. Like, why should I care about you dragging this little brown kid who probably was just wanting to eat with his family, you know, one night, and now he's getting shot at? Like, why should I care? But then I felt bad.
I don't think you should feel bad. I mean, it's not like this is really happening to these people. This is a mediocre script with a very strong stunt department. Mm-hmm. I'm watching this and I kept thinking, this could be and probably is the plot of any given Dolph Lundgren, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Steven Seagal film. Like, we've seen this movie before. These tropes, these character things. And I kept asking myself, well, first off, why is this so familiar and kind of dull in that sense? They didn't want to do anything extra here with this, something interesting. And B, you get Hemsworth. The guy is built of, like, this joyful charisma. And you're just like, no, don't do that. No. Be sad. Just be sad. Inside of this kind of dull and overly familiar trope. And I was a little baffled, but the one thing I'll say for the movie, at the very least, they don't waste much time exploring it.
This is what I like to see in action films, though, is the choreography and the way it was filmed and all the way it just, oh my God, it was really well filmed, because it wasn't too close up. That was my number one complaint with a lot of superhero movies or things that are heavy and just a whole bunch of extra that I didn't ask for. It's too close up. You can't see the action. You can't get a nice flow. And whoever edited this did an amazing job. Like, the beat, it definitely makes sense, because the guy who did this did, I believe, The Usual Suspects, which is actually my favorite film of all time.
Wait, who edited it?
No, I think he did, didn't he? Like, what stood out to me was the cinematography, and the guy's name is Newton Thomas Seigel. I hope I said that right. He did The Usual Suspects. He also did Drive.
I didn't realize you were talking about the cinematography.
Oh, yeah. No, you're fine. I couldn't remember his name. This has the pacing of The Usual Suspects, where it's like on your toes. There's no break. There's no breather. This editor and this cinematographer, but you can tell that they were on the same page. It seemed like this whole project had a nice flow to it. Everybody kind of added their own individual expertise. It all just flowed together. I mean, it was shot really well, which makes sense. This guy's, he did all the X-Men's, Fallen, Valkyrie, like.
He's worked with Nicholas Winding Refn, who demands every drop of talent out of his cinematographers he can get. So there you go. I agree that this is like one of those movies where clearly the director, the writer, and the editors were all on the same page with the most important thing here is the action. And if it's not really interesting to watch, and if it's not one of those things where it really feels like these characters are actually doing this, then this whole movie is going to be pointless, which I see all too many action movies make the mistake of thinking, oh, well, it's simulated action, whatever. People's minds will fill in the rest. And the problem is most action movie fans are a little more, you know, we're a little more jaded than that now. We've seen films like The Raid, we and John Wick. We know it can be better. And Extraction is smart enough to realize that it needs to be better to be able to do that. I certainly don't think that the stunt stuff is on a level of creative set pieces that is up to the John Wick films. I don't think it's as good as that, but it's certainly a fine first effort from this director in terms of action, even going so far as to do the, I know it seems somewhat gratuitous at this point, but a very well done, like 10 minutes plus one long continuous shot sequence throughout the middle of a huge action sequence that is very impressive.
Yeah, somebody was saying it was like half an hour. Very impressive.
It was really going on for a while before I realized it was happening. Because there's so much action. You're like, wait a minute, I don't think the camera has cut for a while.
Yeah, I love how like weighty the punches were in everything, the entire movie. You just like, you could tell they were like really trying to make it seem like realistic.
And it's funny that some critics who criticize this film heavily, they came down one, which I agree with. The plot is insipid and nothing even faintly original about it. And B, it's just too brutal. I'm like, shut up, critics.
It's nowhere near John Wick brutal.
Yeah, but even so, I'm like, what the hell did you come to this movie for? Why were you assigned this review if you come out of an action movie going, it's too brutal? I'm like, maybe you haven't seen an action movie that wasn't PG-13 before.
Yeah.
But that's kind of my problem, I think, with what some critics are saying about it. Because it's like, is it paper thin? Yeah. But the first 15 minutes, I was always, okay, you at least have my attention. And this is a hair under 2 hours. And I was engaged really the whole time. This really reminded me a lot of Casino Royale as far as how it was shot and as far as how the violence was done. A lot of action movies, it feels like sometimes almost, not amplify the violence, but almost like celebrate it. All the violence here felt really dark. And when someone got killed, it was like, oh my god. There's a kid who gets shot pretty early on in the movie. I went, oh, okay, you guys are serious. That's really disturbing. And the hand-to-hand scene, the first one that Chris, Mr. Rake, has, I thought was so incredibly well done. And Hemsworth in an interview said that this was the most, you know, physically intensive thing he's done in his career. And it shows. It looked like he did about as much of his own stunt work as he could have done. And I thought, while the set pieces aren't as clever as the John Wick films, there's a nice variance of different action scenes, including one in a house with a cameo I will not spoil, that I went, that was a very pleasant surprise as well.
So, I didn't expect that cameo to happen.
After the last movie this person's done, he needed to be in something at least passable. And
yes.
So it was very nice to see this person pop up. But I think a lot of critics, I honestly think some people are just going to look for more in this movie than what the movie's going to give you. And to be honest, if that's you, that's cool. But as far as an action film throwback, I thought this was, I really got more than I was even expecting to get out of this.
It had very heavy Bourne influences to it, to me, it seemed like. Just like with the whole shaky cam and like the fast car chases and the fast fight scenes. I mean, I know they made a newer Bourne movie, but they haven't really made them like the original trilogy in quite a while.
All right, so I like the Bourne trilogy overall, although I think that the first three get better as they go along. Like, one problem I've always had with that series is the shaky cam, because it's okay to do shaky cam, but if you do it to the point where it literally could be anybody doing the action because of the tight cut edits, then that's a little annoying to me. Like, if I watch an action movie and I go, man, I mean, great job at making it look like this guy can do all this stuff, but as a somewhat jaded viewer, I can tell that that's all just in the cut. Mm-hmm. This is going, no, we're going to hold the camera long enough for you to see these actors are really doing these stunts. It's not just cutting around it. And I really admire that. Even the aforementioned car chase, which does this neat thing where first like minute and a half, 2 minutes of the car chase is shot entirely from inside the car, which is weird. And I've not seen that before. I thought that was pretty cool. But Jenna, why don't you go into your final thoughts?
We can chop it up to not really expecting much from a super macho action film. However, I mean, with this type of talent on board and the folks and the names that were attached, I guess for me personally, I didn't want it to be super smart, but it could have a little bit more depth when it came to character development and just the plot of the film. The cinematography for me is why, and the editing, the pacing of it is why I actually enjoyed it. So yeah, I think it's cute, you know, it's cute.
It's adorable. So what is your arbitrary rating number for it?
On a scale from 1 to 10, 5 brown children who died in that film.
Damn.
A little too dark. I'm sorry.
No, that's, it's accurate. There were some kids who died. No question about it.
Yeah.
Max?
Probably the same thing where I was definitely not expecting much from this movie, and it probably boosted my enjoyment a lot. The cinematography was fantastic. There was one scene that stood out to me when they were going outside of the apartment building, and they went out on the balcony, and you could almost like see in your head the cameraman kind of like walking behind him, and then kind of like turning his camera real quick and following him. That was a really cool scene. Now, the chemistry between the characters, I thought, was actually really good. The only thing I didn't think that flowed very well was the cameo. I don't think they had very good chemistry together, but the fight scene was still fantastic, so I kind of forgave it. And the music was pretty decent. I could have used something more epic. It was just kind of like sad music the whole time. But overall, I thought it was a pretty good package. I'd give it an 8.5 out of 10 bottles of painkillers consumed throughout the movie.
Joshua?
I thought this was, speaking of the score, Henry Jackman did the score. He also did the score for Captain America, the Winter Soldier. I believe he did for Civil War, too.
He did, yeah.
He's really becoming a composer. I look forward to seeing when he scores a film. This is basically what I wanted. This was an elevated version of 21 Bridges, which the Russos also were producers on. And I love Chadwick Boseman, Wakanda Forever, but I wanted more from that film, and I got a little more of what I wanted from that film in this film. I thought Chris Hemsworth did a great job. The chemistry between the characters really does flow. My two big gripes is the drug lord, the main villain. He is very much kind of overseeing everything. He never really gets his hands dirty. And my other gripe is near the end of the movie, which I can't spoil. Really, that was it for me. I thought everything else flowed super well. I love where this movie ends up. And the last shot of the movie, I really thought, I went, okay, that was clever. I enjoyed that. So I'll give this 9. I wish Chris Hemsworth was shirtless more out of 10.
Yeah.
Jackman has certainly had an interesting history, but I did think his work on here was a little, it reminded you constantly of the sad, but almost annoyingly sad background tone of this film that, like I said, was so cliched. Man, you talk about 21 Bridges, which had a really interesting premise, but kind of lackluster action and pacing. And this one had a terrible premise, but really great action and pacing. It's like, we need to fuse these things together. Because 21 Bridges had the kind of action this did, that movie would have kicked all kinds of ass. True. But as it was just meh. I'd rather watch something like this with a dumb plot and really amazing kick-ass action. Certainly, this director will be somebody to keep an eye on. Russo, maybe, I get he's, Joe Russo's probably riding a high of confidence right now, and who could blame him? But at the same time, dude, let somebody else do a pass on your script. This could have been so much better. For God's sakes, you, if anyone, should know how funny Hemsworth is. Let the motherfucker be funny. Don't cast him as a sad, morose guy. Nobody wants to see that shit. I want happy Thor. Oh, sorry, Chris Hemsworth. Whatever, same difference. But I think this is worthwhile. I think people who really love action movies are going to go hog wild for this movie, are going to really dig it. I think anybody who can't go and watch Arnold Schwarzenegger's Commando with a huge smile on their face is going to be like, this movie was terrible. Okay, not everything is for everyone. For me, it falls somewhere in the middle. It's definitely something I enjoyed enough that I would watch again. I'd love to watch an edit where it just cut out all the drama sequences and just stuck to the action, because it's remarkable enough that it's worth commenting on and worth revisiting. Even so, it doesn't transcend some of the best work we've seen. I could easily see this guy going on to make a movie next that tops the shit out of it. I'm ultimately going to give this 7 out of 10 people that rake kills with a rake.
Nice.
What?
Yeah, there's a scene where he kills a guy with a rake, and his name is, the guy, the hero's name is Rake, his last name is Rake, and he kills a guy by forcing his head onto a rake, and I was like, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, I didn't notice that until the end of the movie. I was like, that was pretty clever.